Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Rama, 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 Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Everybody. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Krishna. राम राम हरे हरे, हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम हरे राम 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 हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम हरे कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे
Hare Krishna. Nama Om. There is a, excuse me, where I find a pocket. These kind of microphones are very handy if you want to walk around and be dramatic. And that's my plan. But first, we shall offer respects to Srila Prabhupada and so many others. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharane Nivase Sasanyavali Prasatide Satarane Om Ganatamirandasya Zanadzana Salakaya Chakshu Samilitanjena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Manubhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sa Pandantikam Vanchakalpatubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhaye Vacha Patitanam Pavinebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Hare Krishna. When I was growing up, there used to be a television show, Superman. Now they've made him into a big movie, but there was a Superman. Now everyone knows about Superman. But what may not come out in today's versions is they would very often hand Superman a piece of coal. And then with the primitive technology of those days, he would go like this. You remember? He would squeeze it and put it under so much pressure. And then when he would open his hand, there was a diamond inside. So our retreats are something like that. There's the pressure, because every day you have to hear this class, then you go alone with Krishna, then you hear another class, and then you hear another class, then you take some rest, and you get up, and then you hear another class, and then you go alone with Krishna. And the mind, the material mind, doesn't like the pressure. But Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan, is like the greatest of jewels. And before we can enter, we have to also be jewels. So the pressure, it's not present, but it has a purpose. It's not pleasant, but it has a purpose. And the purpose is to pressure us to turn to Krishna. To turn to Krishna and always remember Krishna. And remember him with, not only just remember him in, oh, you're the one who creates all the pressure, not like that, but remember him with great affection, great devotion, because Krishna is the most wonderful. He's the one who is most worthy of affection, the most worthy of devotion. He's all attractive. His qualities are all attractive. So in my presentation, and all our presentations, we're just trying to introduce us more and more to the all-attractive Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. That's the simple purpose. We want to learn about Krishna, hear about Krishna, because it's not just ordinary hearing. It's in the hearing, there's just like Vrindavan, Sri Vrindavan Dham, there's a flavor. And even you go to Barsana, you go to Nandagaon, you go to Vrindavan town, you go to Govardhan, you go to, each place has its own flavor, its own variety of sweetness. But there's a flavor in Braja. There is a flavor that one, even though there's so much pressure here in Vrindavan, and I often say the difficulty in Vrindavan is it's like if you're an old man like some of us, you're holding up a mirror. And when you hold up a mirror, when you're elderly, you see the difference between what you think you look like and what you actually look like. I heard some knowing giggles from the sides over here. And it's quite confronting. It's quite confronting because our my concept of myself is quite different from the actual the actual reality of the situation. So Vrindavan in that sense is difficult. Sridhar Mayapur is much more generous. There's this, and Jagannath Puri is something also different. They say that Vrindavan is meant for bhajan and Jagannath Puri is meant for bhojan, which means taking prasadam. But Vrindavan is meant for depth. Prabhupada was once asked something about Vrindavan, and he said, Vrindavan is for Goswamis, and I am Godas. That was what Prabhupada said. That means that Vrindavan is meant, really it is meant. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he would take his parikrama party around Vrindavan, in those days, instead of using store-bought Colgate toothbrushes, they would cut the twigs of trees, and Prabhupada also did this, neem twigs, and even eucalyptus when in the United States. They would cut this, and they would brush their teeth with these twigs. So in Vrindavan, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur disallowed his followers for cutting a branch from a tree to use as a toothbrush. He said, Vrindavan is all meant for Krishna. It's only for Krishna's pleasure. And we come to Vrindavan, I come to Vrindavan thinking how that some people get put off by the chaos, by the thrown plastics and papers here and there, by the monkeys or this and that, or people who treat you for everything in stores or something like that. That's just basically this covering to push those who aren't serious, who don't want to go deeper. It confronts them, just like the mirror confronts them. But below the surface is the land of Krishna, the land of Krishna and his devotees. And there's a sweetness here that it is so strong in the atmosphere, you can almost catch it. But one has to go a little deeply. Prabhupada, as I mentioned before, Prabhupada once said that even when a non-devotee comes to Vrindavan, they can feel separation from Krishna. That's in the atmosphere, the sweetness. So who is this Krishna that we want to move closer to, that we want to increase and increase our desire to be with? He's all wonderful. And part of his wonderfulness isn't that he's all powerful. Of course, that's wonderful. He's all powerful, all knowing. But he's so kind. He's so kind, and he reciprocates with everyone. Yayatamam prapadyante. He reciprocates with everyone. So we heard in the of course, before the 26th chapter was Govardhan Lila, where he reciprocated with all the devotees in Braja by holding up Govardhan Hill and giving them all shelter and allowing them to just stare at him for 8 straight days, 7 straight days. And then we heard, not directly saw Krishna in the 26th chapter, but we heard how the gopas were wondering who Krishna was. They had given everything to Krishna because they loved him so much. They were sometimes aware of his greatness, sometimes they were just aware of his childish nature, but they didn't care really. They just loved Krishna. And the Nanda Maharaj, after they approached him, he is the emblem of paternal, of Shuddha Vatsalya Prem. the perfection of fatherly love in his love for Krishna. But we didn't really hear how Krishna reciprocated with them. We just heard of their love for him. We pointed out how Gaugacharya, being the greatest learned astrologer and knower of everything, sage, priest of the Yadu dynasty, he came in the 8th chapter, and Nanda Maharaj repeated his words, and then Gaugacharya had just left. He couldn't be in Vrindavan, even though he knew everything. He could see the future perfectly. And then we saw Indra. Of course, we saw him in the 24th and 25th chapter with the Govardhan Leela and how angry he was. Even though he was a devotee, his pride caused him so much trouble. And he, even after apologizing to Krishna, he was not allowed to be in Vrindavan. He had to go with the other devatas. And then Surabhi offered her just simple, joyous desire to serve Krishna. She was in the mood of the devatas. She was a swaga cow. She was a cow from the heavenly planets. But somehow, because she felt she had a relationship with the transcendental Krishna's transcendental cows of Vrindavan, she was allowed to stay and associate with them. But still, we haven't seen Krishna's reciprocation with the cowherd men, and specifically with Nanda Maharaj. And in the 28th chapter, we shall see Krishna's reciprocation, hear of Krishna's reciprocation with Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men. First, Nanda Maharaj. The chapter is a very short chapter where it has two parts. One is Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj from Varuna Loka. And the second part is Krishna does something very astounding with the cowherd men. And what we're hearing again and again is how Krishna's desire, this is the Krishna who we're a little terrified to give ourselves to. His desire is to fulfill all the desires of his devotees. And this is really what is going on in Krishna Leela in Vrindavan. Krishna is reciprocating with the love of his devotees in performing these pastimes that bring the greatest pleasure to the residents of Vrindavan. So after, because we entitled this class Between the Hill and the Great Dance. So the Great Dance is the Rasa Dance, where Krishna dances with the gopis, and that's in the 29th, 30th, 31st, 32nd, 33rd chapters. So what we're getting a picture in these middle chapters, in between just leading to the Rasa Dance, is the cause of the Rasa Dance. It's Krishna. He's reciprocating. His motivation is not to dance with beautiful girls in the middle of the night, but his motivation is to satisfy his devotees who want to love him in that way. And this will come out especially in the second part of this chapter. But before we go to the second part of this chapter, we've been waiting for the orchestra to arrive, and it has arrived. We will hear about Krishna and his love for Nanda Maharaj. Are we ready? Now, I've taken this actual, what I'm going to read, I've added to the Bhagavatam, but it's mostly from Sri Gopal Champu, which describes in a wonderful way this pastime. And I've divided it into different points of view. Now, when you look at something from one point of view, it will be appear to be one thing. If you look at it from another point of view, if you look at this hall from outside, it's one thing. If you look at it from the top of the ceiling looking down, it's something else. If you look at it from this side, if you look at it from this side, it's all different, everything. Our viewpoint will depend on where we are, the point where we're situated. So we've divided this pastime into different viewpoints and how it looks from different points of view. So the first point of view is the point of view of Varuna, who is the devata, the demigod in charge of the waters. So it begins on the 11th day or the 12th day after the lifting of Govardhan Hill. You can begin if you can. After the lifting on Govardhan Hill, after Ekadasi, and Nanda Maharaj wanted to break the Ekadasi. Jai, jai, Sri. No, we'll do that later if Maharaj wants. Nanda Maharaj, with great dedication and joy, observed Ekadasi Vrata, because observing Ekadasi Vrata fulfills all desires. And when his vrata was complete, Nanda fearlessly entered the Jamuna to bathe before the Dwadasi ended. For he knew that only a small portion of the Dwadasi remained in which the fast could be broken. So there, in the Jamuna's pure waters, he began to meditate on Lord Narayan, who is his worshipable deity, and how Lord Narayan had given him his most wonderful son, Krishna. He had full faith in Lord Narayan since his birth. And now, in his mature age, he was even more inclined to worship Lord Narayan because by Lord Narayan's mercy, by his grace, he had attained Krishna as his son. So in the waters of the Jamuna, he was meditating on Lord Narayan and naturally upon the great gift of Lord Narayan, his son Krishna. He entered into samadhi, full absorption on Lord Narayan and Lord Narayan's great gift. Now at that very time, the servants of Aruna were roaming everywhere. And they suddenly approached Nanda and they brought him to the abode of their master, Varuna. And Varuna had produced a splendid abode situated within a cavern at the bottom of a pool in the Yamuna. Now, Varuna's servants brought Nanda before Varuna, and the Lord of the Ocean became struck with fear. For he immediately recognized that this person who his servants had brought to him, he was dressed in clothing suitable for vows, and he was wearing garlands of tulsi and lotuses. He recognized that person as Nanda Maharaj, the father of Krishna. He also understood that Nanda had been meditating on Narayan because it was Narayan's mercy that he had obtained Krishna as his son. Varuna became extremely frightened and he respectfully put Nanda Maharaj on a throne or some kind of a bed that was covered with celestial cloth and jewels, because he understood that Krishna would not tolerate Nanda's being taken away, and he would come in great anger to rescue his father. So Varuna waited at the entrance to his abode to meet the Lord when he approached. So that was the point of view of what's going on from Varuna. Now, here's the point of view of what was going on, or what was going on from the point of view of the Yamuna's bank. So Nanda Maharaj had entered into the waters of the Yamuna. And when Nanda did that, from the bank of the Yamuna, they just saw that Nanda, who was bathing, he disappeared, going deep into the water. His coward friends, who had surrounded him on four sides to protect him as he bathed, they ran in all directions. They were filled with fear because they saw Nanda Maharaj as their greatest of wealth. The Brijbasis, the coward men, looking for Nanda, in their fear, they dove into the waters again and again to look for Nanda. But not finding him, they returned to the bank, distraught in great anxiety, helpless on the shore, and they began wailing and crying on the Yamuna's bank in great grief, in great fear, and great confusion. Oh, what has happened? What has happened? Oh, Krishna, oh, Balaram, oh, you who remove all anxiety, oh, you who reward the pious, oh, you who punish those who are evil, oh, you who befriend the distressed, oh, you who are the deliverer of those who are bound. A tragedy, oh, Krishna, oh, Balaram, a tragedy has occurred. Some foolish person has kidnapped your worshipable father as he bathed in the Yamuna. Oh, mighty armed ones, please save him. Only you can save us and him from this terrible calamity. And hearing their anguished cries, Krishna and Balaram immediately appeared, although they had been far away, and they instantly sprung into action. Important to note, they were far away, but Krishna is never far away. When we call for him fully and sincerely, he is just there. Krishna immediately embraced his brother Balaram, and with tears in his eyes, he said, "Oh, brother, soon all the residents of Vrindavan will have heard the news and they will arrive here. Keep Mother Yashoda free from lamentation. And you protect, oh Balaram, you protect all the others. Protect them as long as I am unable to remove their fears by bringing Father back. And when Mother arrives, I will not have yet completed bringing Father here. So please keep her alive." Saying this to Balaram, Krishna gathered up his cloth and he entered the Yamuna's waters to bring his father back from the kingdom of Varuna. And he disappeared from sight. Just imagine what that looked like from the shore, from the point of view of the Brijbasis who were there. Nanda Maharaj had entered the waters and gone. Then Krishna had entered the waters, gone. The moment that Yashoda and the others arrived, they saw Balaram alone. They looked for Krishna. And they asked, "Where has your younger brother gone?" And seeing that Yashoda was full of grief and had immediately fainted, Balaram spoke, "Oh, mother, do not be aggrieved. Do not be afraid. Krishna will soon bring back Nanda, and he will make everyone happy again." And to his mother Rohini, Balaram said, "Ah, please trust me. Please trust me and help keep Yashoda alive. For her life barely remains in her body." And with agitated hearts, all the ladies could say was, "Oh, Yashoda, oh, Krishna, where are you?" While four women held up Yashoda, her heart began to burn. They could understand that she was still alive because she still breathed. But all that came out of her mouth was, "Oh, oh." The young gopis of Gokul and everyone else on the bank of the river fell into the deepest of depressions when they considered that Krishna had left for Varuna's abode. And although the gopis, the Braja gopis, did not always see Krishna, because of their intense attachment for him and because they stayed in the same village, they felt they were living in the same house as Krishna. They feared that not only Nanda Maharaj, but Krishna himself had departed for the other world. And the gopis lost all strength and they collapsed to the ground. At this perilous time, one moment seemed like a thousand ages. In this state, the gopis could not hear anything. They could not see anything. They could not say anything. Their minds went with Krishna and their bodies shook uncomfortably. Although withering away due to separation from Krishna, Sri Radha managed to sustain her life just by the power of her Krishna prema. Even though her friends fanned Radha with lotuses and tal leaves, which were so cooling, and they sprinkled her again and again with sandalwood water, they remained unable to reduce Radhika's high fever caused by her separation from Krishna. She was rescued by her friend Murcha, unconsciousness. And her going unconscious temporarily extinguished the fire in her body. But seeing the filaments of cotton held under her nose moving slightly with her breathing, Sri Radha's friends understood that she still was alive. And one intelligent Sakhi, seeing Sri Radha on the ground, unconscious, she called out, "Krishna is coming." And Sri Radha opened her eyes and with great difficulty returned to external consciousness. But when she saw that Krishna wasn't there, she just stared into space, with her eyes looking like a pair of blue lotuses painted on a canvas. Even though Radhika heard her friends saying, "Krishna will be returning in a moment, have no fear," she thought, "If one moment becomes like one yuga of time, am I to blame for suffering such pains of separation?" Not seeing Krishna before her, Radha felt even more anguished. The hot sparks of fire in her heart shot forth as tears. It mixed with her kajal and dripped in black streams down her golden lotus face. Thus, all the Brijbasis remained alive, but in complete anxiety as they waited, hoping in great anxiety on the Yamuna's shores, hoping, waiting for Krishna and Nanda Maharaj to return. Here is the third point of view. This is viewing Krishna and Varuna. Krishna, who is dear to the gopis, he entered the water and he approached the abode of Varuna. A lion expands his mane and he expands his whole body when he is intent on destroying his enemy. Krishna changed his appearance. His change, though, put the lion to shame. Though Krishna's body was black due to his anger, it turned red. Though Krishna's eyes destroyed darkness because of their intense gaze, no one could look at them. They were difficult to behold. His quality of softness turned into ferociousness because of his anger. His voice resembled the rumbling of thunder in a cloud at the time of the final devastation. He arrived at Varuna's abode, and Krishna, who maintains the prosperity of his father Nanda's dynasty, he increased his power with a desire to attack Varuna. He was thinking, where is that jackal Varuna? Where is that jackal Varuna? Then Krishna saw Varuna, the protector of the watery kingdoms. He saw him standing at some distance with folded hands, fearfully offering respect. Varuna was touching his forehead to the earth. His cloth was covering his throat in humility and fear. Varuna's pride was crushed. His followers were also on the ground, fearfully offering their respects to Krishna. Varuna was filled with fear, but his fear was mixed with affection. He worshipped Krishna with augur and other articles immediately. He praised the effulgent Supreme Lord as the reservoir of all glorious characteristics, as the embodiment of all happiness, as the very form of concentrated bliss and knowledge. Varuna Deva said, "All jewel of the womb of Devaki, you shine brilliantly amongst all the demigods headed by Shiva, and I offer my respects to you. You descend to relieve the earth of her burdens. Your handsome form and qualities defeat thousands and thousands of cupids, and you stand before me as spotlessly pure and as the blissful son of Nanda. The dust of your lotus feet, seeing that, has destroyed all my passion. And all those who reside in my city have now become purified by your auspicious presence. Today, my whole birth has become successful. Due to my possessing fabulous wealth, my knowledge had become covered, and therefore I could not understand your position as the master of Maya and the controller of all devouring time. Oh, Madhava, O creator of the universe, you should not keep foolish men like me blinded by your illusory potency. Even the best of munis cannot surpass your Maya. O killer of Agasura, you have all desirable characteristics. Though my servants think themselves very clever, they do not even have a drop of intelligence, for they have committed a terrible mistake by bringing your father here. Yet, at the same time, they have bestowed upon me the greatest boon. Indeed, I have offended you, who are so rarely attained by anyone in the world, and due to pride, I violated the rules of conduct by keeping the dust of your lotus feet as the crown jewel on my head, though I may nullify, remove the poisonous fever caused by my severe offense. O Lord of Lords, your splendid complexion easily conquers the glistening trunk of a young tamal tree. Lord Shiva, the father of Kartikeya, and all the demigods, they worship you, whose eyes are as beautiful as a lotus petal. You possess splendidly contoured body. You radiate a dazzling effulgence. Your graceful arms extend to your knees, and you wear a garland of forest flowers. I worship your transcendental, super excellent form. After praising Krishna, Varuna took sweet, fragrant water in his hands, and he washed the Lord's lotus feet, which are the abode of all auspiciousness. This immediately removed all of Varuna's fears of a calamity. And Varuna said, O Supreme Person, O subduer of all demons, please be merciful to me. Please take whatever jewels I have in my kingdom. Take them as your own. Actually, everything belongs to you. What more can I say? I also belong to you. And all my pious deeds have now borne fruit because I have received your darshan. The desire to see you arose with me, and that desire did not disappear. To taste the bliss of seeing you, I have safely kept your father here. O ornament of the earth, please forgive my offense. Though the servant may be forgiven, the master should be punished for the offense of his servant. I therefore desire severe punishment for the offensive act of my servant. Having given up all his false pride, Varuna folded his hands and stood very humbly before Krishna, the Lord. This is the second part of viewing Varuna and Krishna interact. This is Krishna's reply. O Lord of the waters, he said very compassionately, I am pleased with your motives and your statement of love for me. You can keep all the wealth that you have because you are my devotee. Your home, your abode is also my residence. Varuna breathed, and he spoke sweetly. O highest Lord, a person who resides where you stay and resides nowhere else attains the highest powers and becomes the foremost, topmost. I am one amongst your many servants. Having given up his anger with a peaceful heart, Krishna thought, punishing the insignificant destroys the prowess, the power of the punisher. Lotus-eyed Krishna, who is dear to all, then inquired, where is my worshipable father? He is the performer of the highest dharma, for indeed he was the lover of the personification of all dharma of Krishna. Quickly, Krishna said, please show me his lotus feet. Varuna's reply was instantaneous. O destroyer of the suffering for the fallen souls, I will do just as you say. And the Lord of the waters then covered the path to where Nanda Maharaj was with the best of soft silken cloths. And he brought the Lord, Krishna, the chief amongst the best of cowherds, to the place, and he pointed, O Govinda, who is affectionate to your father, please take him. Your father is the object of my worship. I understood who he was. How could I have treated him badly? Nor can he be defeated by any other person. Now at that time, Nanda had remained on the bed throne, covered with soft silk cloth and jewels. He had remained there since previously Varuna had led him there, but his eyes still were closed. His eyes had been closed since Varuna's servants had taken him from the Yamuna's waters. His meditation on Narayan's kindness in having given him the wonderful son Krishna had remained unbroken. Thus Nanda was still seated there with his eyes closed, thinking, I have the most wonderful son. His hair is so curly and beautiful, his eyes like lotus petals. He's so clever. Now, Krishna came and stood before his father. And although Nanda's eyes were closed, he sensed Krishna's presence by Krishna's fragrance. And he slowly regained external consciousness to the astonishment of all the assembled persons. The meditation on Narayan, which began with his bath in the Jamuna, now broke. And slowly opening his eyes, he saw Krishna before him. And those eyes immediately filled with tears. Am I dreaming? Nanda thought. Krishna immediately touched his father's feet. He raised his father up from his sitting position and he embraced him and said, Oh, Father, I have come. I have come. In this way, Krishna brought Nanda Maharaj back to his senses. Although they were both very emotional in their meeting, they feared that they would be the joke of Varuna's followers, and Krishna spoke to control both of their hearts and to remove their tears. Oh, Father, Krishna said, have you been confined here? Have you been imprisoned here, trapped here? Nanda looked around. Where are we? He looked at his face of his son with great astonishment, and Krishna said, Oh, Father, you need not do anything. Just as I have come here, now we will return to Braja. Please place your feet, your lotus feet, one before the next on the path, and let us return to Braja. As they were about to leave, Varuna spoke with piteous and still fearful words. Oh, Krishna, you are compassionate. Either punish me or show me mercy, but do not let my offense remain. Offenses will not cease without punishment or mercy. As Krishna and Nanda were leaving, they stood for a moment. Varuna offered various gifts at their feet. He again paid his respects. He accompanied them to the edge of the cavern that would lead them back to the Yamuna's waters and Braja. And Varuna then made the waters part. Varuna placed his gifts, the best of ornaments and jewels and cloth, in the hands of those servants whom he had assigned to take Krishna and Nanda to Braja. And feeling joy, Varuna returned to his abode. He was dancing while thinking himself successful in having the audience of Krishna and Nanda Maharaj in his own home. one last point of view remains. Krishna and Nanda had vanished within the waters of the Yamuna, and now they were returning. During all this time, the people of Braja on the bank of the Yamuna had remained lifeless. They were waiting for Nanda and Krishna to appear again, and they were only slightly maintaining the symptoms of their life. But as they were staring across the Yamuna's waters, suddenly they saw Krishna and Nanda, along with Varuna's servants, rise to the surface. Immediately, all the directions erupted in an auspicious roar. Roar. No, not like that. They were so excited. Krishna and Nanda had returned. And the minds of all the Brijbasis, including Sri Radhika and the gopis, who moments before had been submerged in anxiety, now floated in a liquid ocean of nectar. All the Brijbasis filled with boundless happiness, and then in their happiness, they all fainted. Only Balaram didn't faint. And he approached Krishna and Nanda. He offered his respects to his father, which caused a wave of great happiness to flood the heart of Nanda. And Nanda embraced Balaram, losing external awareness. He remained stunned for a moment without speaking. As Balaram offered repeated respects to Nanda, Krishna, so quickly that no one could even see him, he went to Mother Yashoda and brought her back to consciousness with his sweet touch of his hand. Then Krishna revived the other Brijbasis, who all approached Krishna and Nanda Maharaj. The cows began, and the people chattered, and flowers fell from the heaven. Music, dancing, and the recitation of verses rose up from the sky as if all in competition with each other. Then Balaram protectively gathered together all the animals, and with a sweet voice, he directed all the Brijbasis to sit down. He sat with Nanda and Krishna on a white cloth and asked Krishna, who was sitting just next to him, he asked Krishna what had happened. And after Balaram had heard the narration of events, he told everything to the cowherd men and to the cowherd ladies of Braja. They then invited the Brahmins to come, and the Brahmins were first fed sweet rice and then offered many desirable gifts, and Nanda Maharaj feared that they would trespass Dvadasi, and so he prayed that the vow could be completed without fault. He and the other cowherd men then made sure that they finished the vow with the words and the blessings of the Brahmanas. Considering themselves successful, everyone, including Krishna, Balaram, Nanda, Yashoda, the gopis, and the other Brijbasis, and all the cows, then returned to Braja. As Nanda walked along the path, he looked effulgent as he walked between his two sons, Krishna and Balaram. That was such a nice pastime. That was actually basically the first 10 verses of the chapter, and that described Krishna's reciprocation with Nanda, which we hadn't seen before. When Nanda was taken, he was as furious as a lion, even more furious. He wanted to destroy Varuna and his kingdom. That was just an element of his reciprocation. But now the pastimes in this chapter become, I don't know if they become more interesting, but they remain very interesting because, whoops, this is the wrong verses. Yes, these are the right verses. Now, in the 10th verse of the 28th chapter, Nanda Maharaj is being described as speaking to his Gopa friends. This is the next day. And he's describing to them what he had seen. So Nanda had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna, who is the ruler of the ocean planets, and also to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda described all this to his fellow cowherd men. Srila Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur gives us a window to the future as he looked to the present here, and he says, satisfying the desires of his devotees, the devatas, he satisfied Varuna's desire, he satisfied Indra's desire, has been described. And now Sukadev Goswami would describe satisfying the devotees of Braja. First, Krishna will satisfy the cowherd men in the remainder of this chapter. How he will satisfy them is very interesting. That was my comment. Vishwanath continues. And then, as Sukadev will describe in the following five chapters, he will satisfy his devotees, the gopis. So Nanda had seen the great opulence of Varuna and he had described it to his cowherd friends. And he had described how Krishna was glorified by Varuna. And the cowherd men, after hearing this, had a change in attitude. If you remember in chapter 26, the cowherd men were trying to figure out who Krishna was, and Nanda Maharaj satisfied them by saying, he's not Narayan, he's my child. But he has the qualities of Narayan. But now, after hearing this, everyone's mind shifted. Next verse. Tachotsukya Dio Rajan, with full eagerness in their minds, Dio, they were thinking in this way, Matva Gopas Tamishwara, they started thinking of him. The Gopas started thinking of him, Tam, as the Ishwara, as the Supreme Lord. Apina Swagatim Sukshman, and they began thinking as if they were ordinary people, and this is their speciality of the Brijbasis, they don't think of themselves as residents of the highest realm of the spiritual world. They think of themselves as ordinary people, and Krishna acts in relationship to them as if he's just an ordinary, exceptional, but ordinary village boy. Naughty, but exceptional, but a village boy. But now, they began thinking of Krishna as the Ishwara, as the Supreme Lord. And as if they were worldly, ordinary people, Api, perhaps, us, Na, Swagatin Sukshman. Perhaps he will award us with his transcendental abode, Upadayasyad Adishwara. Perhaps the Supreme Controller is going to bestow upon us like heaven, the greatest of abodes, the English translation. The cowherd men were filled with excitement after hearing about Indra's past, Krishna's pastime with Varuna. And they were considering Krishna as the Supreme Lord, and their minds, O King Prakrit, were filled with eagerness, and they thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode? Could you play again? There's a little interlude here, explanation. By Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. The coward men started thinking, we think that he should and will fulfill the desires of your friend, Nanda, your friends, because he is not only your son, he's our son. He's the son of our brother, the son of our sister, the son of our daughters in the village. Everyone was related. And he is the Supreme Lord. And even more, we have affection for him. And he has affection for us. Krishna then said, he wasn't there, but he said, O coward men, please take whatever you desire from the Supreme Lord. And one of them said, we should take liberation. Another said, let us become residents of Vaikuntha. And every coward man had a different desire. It was like a child who is ornamented with a necklace of priceless gems, who asks his father for pieces of glass out of his curiosity. And the father, simply out of his affection, will certainly give those pieces to him. But amazingly, the love of the cowherd men for Krishna, amidst all this, their mode of loving him as their son did not even weaken slightly, although they were now seeing him as God. Their love is like an ocean. It does not increase. It does not decrease. It is so powerful. It is compared to a pot of boiling milk, their awareness of his supreme position. And in that pot of boiling milk is a piece of grass. And when the milk is boiling, the grass sometimes comes to the surface and sometimes it goes below the surface. So in this way, every now and then, the cowherd men become conscious of Krishna's position as the Supreme Lord, but it doesn't make any difference. So quickly it goes below the surface because the madhurya, the sweetness of their love, defeats the aishwarya, his opulence, that mood. It cannot be driven. Their love for him cannot be driven away by anything. This, however, was not the case with Vasudeva, Krishna's father, or Arjuna, Krishna's friend. When Krishna released Vasudeva and Devaki from the prison in Mathura after the killing of Kamsa, Vasudeva and Devaki were stunned. They did not know whether, because he was their son, but they knew he was the Supreme Lord, and they went to embrace him, and at the same time, they went to touch his lotus feet. And they got stuck, stunned, in the middle, and couldn't move until Krishna removed that illusion, because Krishna wanted their parental affection, not their reverence. Although the cowherd men were Krishna's eternal associates, they considered themselves as friends of Nanda because of their love for him. Thus they became excited, and they were thinking, if a devata like Varuna had such magnificence, then what will be the magnificence of Krishna, the cowherd boy who is the master of Varuna and other devatas? Will he give us his own abode, which is now invisible to us because it's beyond the material world? He is the Lord of Brahma and the Lord of the devatas. He must have a place for us, which has wealth like the places of Brahma and the other great devatas. Out of curiosity, they wanted to see these places. Or perhaps, they thought, will he show us his place, Vaikuntha, which is inconceivable to us and which belongs to his dearest ones? Or will he not take us to Golok, which is above even Vaikuntha? They were unaware of their own position. Next verse. How is Krishna going to react to this? Because he sees everything. Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing, what they were thinking. And wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows. He wanted to fulfill whatever desires they had. Whatever they wanted, he wanted to give to them in this pastime. How Krishna reciprocates with his dearest devotees. Whatever they want, he gives them. This is what Krishna thought. Janovai loka etasmin. People in this world, avidya kama karma bi, in ignorance, without full knowledge, they follow their desires and their activities, uchavasasu gateshu, without even knowing the destinations. He's speaking as if the cowherd men were ordinary worldly people who act in such a way without knowledge, not knowing where their acts will lead them. He was speaking of ordinary people. Naveda swam gatim brahman. They wander, Brahmar, without knowing where their actions, which are devoid of knowledge, will bring them. Certainly, Krishna thought, people in this world are wandering amongst higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires and without full knowledge, and the people thus don't know their real destinations. One may consider their treating, the coward men's treating Krishna as a helpless child, a handsome boyfriend, as the gopis do, or as a playmate, to be ignorance, like ordinary people. Ignorance of the Lord Krishna's position as God. But the residents of Vrindavan ignore the majesty, the opulence, the aishwarya of Krishna, because they are solely, completely and fully focused on his infinite beauty and sweetness, which is the essence of his existence, says Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They simply see that, and they're unaware of his opulence. So it's not at all avidya, see the vision, or ignorance, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says. This is simply the mentality of Braj, absorbed fully in the sweetness and beauty of Krishna. And with that focus on their loving absorption in Krishna, they act solely for the pleasure of Krishna because he is fully their beloved, regardless of their relationship with him. And here were Krishna's thoughts. Again, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And there's a very interesting and important philosophical point within here. My father and the inhabitants of Braja have become confused in this world about the higher forms of life, which give them happiness and power, and even the lower forms, man, animals, and birds, with their distress and weaknesses. This confusion arises because they think of themselves only as ordinary people for the purpose of our human-like pastimes. And in this role, they do not know their exalted position in appearing in Braja, which is rarely, very rarely achieved by others. And when my father saw the opulence of Varuna, which is material, he therefore considered Vrindavan to be lower than the planet of Varuna, even though it is the essence, Vrindavan is the essence of Vaikuntha, it is the topmost Vaikuntha planet. It was like a foolish person upon seeing an inferior pearl becomes astonished at its form and luster and thinks his own valuable pearl is inferior. Thus the cowherd men think themselves lower than Varuna, and they think liberation in Vaikuntha is higher than their great sweetness and their taste of offerings to me in love as their son. This is because their knowledge is covered by their absorption in my sweetness. They forget the eternally perfect magnificence of Goloka Vrindavan. My own people do not know the glory of my abode. But I cannot give up my eternal devotees who cannot bear separation from me for even a moment. I must fulfill their desires, whether it arises out of curiosity or prema. I must fulfill their desires. Next. Iti sanchitya Bhagavan. Considering this in this way, Mahakarunika Hari, Lord Hari, who is most merciful, Darsayam Asalokam Swam, he showed them, the cowherd men, he showed them the planet Vaikuntha, his own Vaikuntha planet, Gopinam Tamasa Param, which is beyond all material darkness. Now our acharyas go to great extent explaining these next verses. Translation. Thus deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. So it is described that Krishna then takes the cowherd men who desired to see other abodes, even though they were living in the highest abode. He took them to Brahma Ridha, and he put them in Brahman. And in Brahman, there is the absence of all material sensations. There is the absence of everything except an experience of eternity, existence, eternal existence. But there is no sense of chit or knowledge. So one is not even aware of oneself experiencing eternal existence free from all misery. One is just in that existence. And quickly, because one doesn't have any awareness, individual awareness of that, you can't even get out because you lose all sense of self. So Krishna immediately, quickly pulled them out of that. And then, because they could not get out by their own power even, but they wanted some experience, and for them, Kaivalyam, Naraka, it was like hell because Krishna wasn't there. And then, in the 15th verse, Lord Krishna then revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, that one, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free from the modes of material nature, all modes of material nature. Sattvam sanjate gyanam One can experience that just by sattva-gun. So Krishna showed them the Brahma-jyoti, which was not of this world, not touched by darkness. And then he pulled them out. Oh, then the next verse. The cowherdmen were brought by Lord Krishna to the Brahma-rudra, made to submerge in the waters, and then lifted up. And then that was the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world. This is Akura Ghat in Vrindavan. And that's also where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left Vrindavan, from that same place. And that's where Mahaprabhu stayed when he was going each day to Imlital in Vrindavan. From that same vantage point, Akura saw the spiritual world, and the cowherd men saw the planet of the absolute truth. They saw Mahavakunta there. Now, the acharyas explain this differently, and I will just follow the explanation of Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. The cowherd men, go to the next verse, and we'll avoid the Sanskrit. Just go to the next one. Go to the next. Nanda Maharaj, he showed them after Brahman, he sold them Goloka Vrindavan. Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men then felt the greatest happiness when they saw Krishna's transcendental abode. They were especially amazed to see Krishna there. Finally, they saw Krishna there, surrounded by the personified Vedas who are offering him prayers. Now, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, in very interesting comments, says, seeing Mahavaikuntha, Goloka Vrindavan, the cowherd men were filled with the highest bliss. This is because the experience of Vrindavan there was similar to Vrindavan on earth. It is just like a millionaire, Kurapati, who, having lost all his wealth, becomes full of bliss on finding some clue to that wealth. They saw Krishna there, and that he was the clue to their real wealth. And that brought them great ecstasy. But it wasn't the ecstasy that they were continually experiencing. It was just a clue to that ecstasy. In Mahavaikuntha, they began searching for Krishna. With his lotus face covered with drops of perspiration, who was worshipable by millions of their life heirs, they were simply searching for Krishna there. And then they saw him. They were astonished to see him, because he was being praised by the meters of the personified Vedic verses. And they looked at Krishna, and they looked at these great souls praising Krishna with wonderful verses. And they thought, there's something different here. It's like Vrindavan, our Vrindavan, but there's something different. They thought, where have these effulgent beings who are praising Krishna come from? They are unknown to us, but we feel very hesitant to walk over and ask them who they are. And Krishna sees us, but he doesn't run towards us and sit on our laps. He doesn't come and embrace us with his two arms. He feels restrained. And we also feel restrained from approaching him, embracing him, and just having him sit on our laps. And he's just listening to those prayers. He has forgotten hunger. He has forgotten thirst. Yashoda Maya would not be able to tolerate seeing him like this without feeding him. Thus, they were astonished, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakura. And then Krishna sent, or the Leela Shakti sent Yogamaya and brought all the cowherd men back to Vrindavan. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur quotes Rupa Goswami, a verse from Stavamala. He has described this pastime in a verse in Stavamala. May you all be protected by Mukunda, who in order to teach the cowherd men that there is no place as sweet as earthly Vrindavan, he effortlessly showed them Vaikuntha and then brought them back to Goloka, Gokul. And he ends, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ends this commentary and this class with these final words that offer respect to his Guru Parampara, paying my respects to Ramakrishna and Ganga Narayan and others in the Parampara. I offer my respects to Gauranga Mahaprabhu, who is the Lord of Narottama Das. Paying repeated respects to my Diksha Guru, Radharamandev, I offer respects to the ocean of mercy, Sri Krishna. I take shelter of Srila Sukadev Goswami, who is the eye of the universe, who sees everything. And he is the master of the worlds because of that. I offer everything, including my very self, to Krishna, who is the life of the gopis. I do this in order to attain service to his dear ones. Thus Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur ends his comment on this amazing chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is just prior to Krishna's dancing with the Braja Gopikas, which is the smiling face of Krishna in the 10th canto. Hare Krishna. Just to act as a, what do they call it, Tom? Just a segue medium to prasadam. Maybe we can just sing for 1 minute and 2 minutes, and then everyone sing along and offer prayers. And perhaps, if you like, you can also offer your very self to Krishna, who is the life of the gopis.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Krishna, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama.
Please put your deepest prayers into this last chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra.
Krishna,
Hare Krishna.